This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guests, well, we're talking to the legal Eagles this morning again, but we don't have Nathan or Ken with us this morning. We have Tom Cates. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Duke. How are you today?
Very good. Want to pull that mic just a little bit closer to you there?
Sure.
Okay, very good. Tom tells me he deals in mediation, and so if you have something you want to mediate, what do you do principally? Mediate between sexes or?
Well, there's a new trend in the courts right now, Duke, and I am excited about it, and I've been involved in it here for about the last year, and that is mediation of domestic cases.
Mm-hmm.
By domestic, we mean divorce and custody and support. The issues that are all too common in our community that people have traditionally taken to the courts.
Yeah.
But for the last year or so, Ottawa County and Allegan County and many counties in West Michigan have been referring their domestic cases to lawyers and other professionals who mediate or help settle a case out of court.
Now, that gets expensive.
Well, court, as we all know, can be very expensive, and one of the benefits of mediation that the court is aware of, and one of the reasons they've referred it, is to help people stay out of court and avoid the long, drawn-out expense of litigation. And in mediating a case, you can, in most instances, resolve it in one or two meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, these people are not always on the best of terms.
That's right.
When they come to see you.
Most of the time they're not on terribly good terms, but mediation, unlike litigation, helps people to not only resolve the financial and perhaps child-related issues between them, but oftentimes it will help to bring them to restore the relationship, not, of course, to what it was, but at least to bring some civility to the process.
Yeah.
And I've seen good results in that.
What is the problem usually between people? Is it money?
Well, in the domestic arena, of course, we have a number of problems that need to be mediated. Probably the most serious one is child custody, meaning who is the child or children going to live with
yeah.
parent? And second, of course, I think is money. And money is involved in every domestic dispute, either as a direct issue or as a collateral damage of what's actually going on, as the financial damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they should get into mediation as soon as possible, shouldn't they?
Well, ideally, if parties are contemplating a split, ideally they would get into what we call early stage or even pre-filing mediation, where they would meet and try to resolve their differences before anybody even files for divorce.
Yeah.
And that's the ideal scenario. Second best is they would get into it early stage, and that is usually ordered by the courts now, a month or two after a party files for divorce. There comes a pretrial order which actually orders them to go to mediation, which is a new trend. It used to be purely something that the lawyers of the parties would initiate. Now the court is initiating it and saying, okay, it's time to resolve this, and if you can't resolve it, then of course a trial is a last resort.
So a judge can say, I would like to see you go to mediation?
That's right, and they're doing it in almost every case now, in domestic and in many civil cases that don't involve domestic issues, personal injury cases, malpractice cases, business disputes. The courts are referring those to a mediator, and it's not mandatory that you actually settle the case, but it's mandatory that you show up and give it your best shot with a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
And people, of course, want to resolve their cases. I don't know many people that look forward to the trial.
Right. Right. If anyone has a question, by the way, they'd like to ask the attorney, you may call us here at 395-1450. What if they come to you and he says, well, I don't love her anymore, or she says, I don't love him anymore?
Well, unfortunately, there's not much a mediator can do about that. That would be an issue that we would, of course, refer to a marriage counselor.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, by the time they come to me, whether it's for divorce or mediation, that issue, the issue of how they feel about one another, has been at issue for many years
yeah.
in most cases.
Yeah. So your services cost about the same as another attorney?
Sure. Most mediators in our county are lawyers, so most of us charge a traditional lawyer's hourly rate for the service.
Mm-hmm.
Some charge a little bit less. Some have a sliding fee scale based on income. There is a service in our community called Mediation Services, which is a lower cost alternative, a lower cost option. That service, I believe it's about $50 per hour per disputant, and I think those fees are probably flexible based on if an ability to pay as well. But that's a lower cost than the traditional attorney's hourly rate. And I am a volunteer mediator at Mediation Services, and I know they have an excellent track record of resolving cases, and they have, in fairly recent, in the last couple of years, have gotten more into domestic cases. It used to be that they did just general civil disputes. Now they're getting more involved in domestic cases, and their mediators have received training in domestic relations, and they are very effective in resolving
mm-hmm.
disputes, and the courts are referring a lot of cases to them, especially I know Allegan County is doing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're talking to the attorney this morning, and if you have a question, 395-1450 is the number. His name is Tom Cates, that's right. Okay. One wants you to remember that name in case you have to go into a sort of thing with some problem. What do you do when they come to the office, Tom? Oh, we got a call. Let's take that call here. Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have a question for our guest.
Yes.
Just as an example, say if I paid someone, say in this upcoming winter, to shovel my roof, and let's just say he or she got hurt or something happened then, am I, as the homeowner, then liable for any damages? And I'll hang up the list.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it depends on a number of things. First of all, did you do anything wrong or did you do anything negligent? The simple fact that he had an accident on your premises does not necessarily mean that you are liable. Obviously, when you climb up on a roof to shovel snow, we all know that can be hazardous, that can be slippery. And unless he could show, if he took you to court and tried to sue you, if he could show that you did something negligent or imprudent, like, for instance, let's say that you furnished him a ladder that was defective and the ladder broke and he fell, maybe you could be liable for that. But we all know that roofs are high and roofs in the wintertime can be slippery. So my thought would be, yeah, he could probably take you to court, but would he win? I kind of doubt it unless he could show you actually did something wrong.
Unless you had some negligence.
That's right.
Okay. 395-1450 if you have a question. When people come to you, do you say, well, what seems to be the problem?
Well, yeah, we have a long talk about what the problem is. And if people come to me and tell me they want to divorce, which is what most people tell me because that's my area of specialty, we spend a lot of time together exploring the root cause of the
mm-hmm.
relationship troubles, because usually the root cause of the split is one of the issues that needs to be explored when the case is mediated or when it goes to trial.
Now, do you require that both parties to the problem will be at that first meeting?
Well, it depends on what the first meeting is. If it's a meeting where they're seeking my services as a mediator, yes, because I would be essentially working as a neutral party,
mm-hmm.
working for both of them. If somebody was coming to me for my services as an attorney to represent them and be their advocate, then I would be meeting with that person privately because I would be developing an attorney-client relationship with them, which is confidential.
Mm-hmm.
But mediation is different because if somebody comes to me, if a couple comes to me or two people come to me and they're having a dispute and they want me to be the mediator, then absolutely I would meet with them together, explore, okay, what's going on here? What's the cause of this problem? What's the nature of the problem? And explain the process of mediation to both of them. And then I wouldn't give them, even though it's hard for me to do as a lawyer, to sit in a meeting and not give any legal advice. My role as a mediator is very different from my role as an attorney.
So you have to look at both sides of the story and try to make the best place to meet.
That's right. And as a mediator, I don't make any decisions for the people. Sometimes I would like to make suggestions, and sometimes I can do that, but I have to do it in a very neutral way. The standards of conduct for mediators, which are established by our Supreme Court, Michigan Supreme Court, are pretty explicit that mediators need to maintain their neutrality. So I can't just say, well, I think you're wrong and I think she's right. That would be a violation of my ethics as a mediator. I can speak with the parties individually, and I can guide them, but I can't take sides, and I can't make a decision. So that's how my role is very different from a judge. Now, there is a process that's called arbitration, which sometimes mediation will not work, and the people will be at an impasse. They'll be unable to resolve their case. And on occasion, a mediator can actually move into the role of an arbitrator, and an arbitrator makes a decision, is no longer neutral, is there as a judge, as an informal judge, and then makes the ultimate decision. And if that is done, then the parties essentially come up with the arbitration award. That arbitration award then becomes a judgment, is submitted to the court, and the court enters judgment based on that. But if you're mediating and it's a successful mediation, what happens is the agreement of the parties then is submitted to the court, and the attorneys, if there are attorneys involved, will prepare a judgment that essentially incorporates that mediation agreement. So once the mediation agreement is signed, it's a binding settlement and then is converted into a judgment.
Mm-hmm. What's the success rate of mediation?
Well, I don't have an exact statistic on that. I know that mediation services and other mediation agencies do keep track of that. Most mediators that I speak with tell me that they resolve over half the cases that come to them. I've had mediators tell me 70 or 80% of cases that they mediate have resolved. Personally, I find that I have not mediated a lot of cases yet. I only recently got into the practice. I've probably mediated a dozen cases in the last 4 years, and I want to say probably 60 or 70% of them have been a complete resolution, and then another percentage of them have been a partial resolution where some of the issues have been resolved and others remain to be decided by the court. But that's a nice thing. You can resolve some of the issues in a case and narrow down what the court needs to do, making the court's job easier and therefore streamlining our docket so more people can get heard on the issues that really need to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we're here with the attorney this morning, and if you have a question, 395-1450. One other thing, Tom, like if you have an argument between two neighbors, is it possible to bring that to you as well for mediation?
Sure. In my experience, those kinds of disputes between neighbors are one of the very reasons that community dispute resolution centers have sprung up.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back 25 years ago, first time I really heard about mediation was when I was involved in a dispute with a neighbor and somebody recommended a community dispute resolution service. Of course, back then I was a young attorney and I thought, oh, okay, the way to solve all these problems is to go to court. Well, I quickly learned that that's not always the best way to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I mean, mediation services now, I mean, they have everything from driveway easements to barking dogs to noisy neighbors. They mediate those kinds of disputes, and those are very important, of course, to the peace and tranquility of our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. It's important to the city, too.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
395-1450, if you have a question you'd like to ask the attorney about mediation, and some people never get into a mediation situation, which is pretty good, but a lot of us do, too.
If you can avoid the turmoil of court, the best thing. If you can avoid mediation, that's a good thing, too. If you can resolve a dispute without it, that's wonderful. I also know that there are churches now, I believe it's Ridgepoint Church here in Holland has a mediation program where church members or people in the community can actually submit a dispute, and I think it's involving domestic issues primarily, but I know that they have some volunteer mediators on staff or who are church members. And I think that's a very successful and very good way to resolve disputes. And oftentimes when it's done in the context of the church, they go a step farther rather than just resolving the financial issues. They look at the personal, relational issues that are going on, and many times that can lead to a reconciliation, not only a financial settlement or whatever, but a true reconciliation can take place.
I would think that the custody thing would be the most difficult to settle, probably more so than money even. You have to be kind of a King Solomon on that.
It is very difficult, and I find probably the most time-consuming issue to resolve at mediation is that of parenting time. You get two parents that equally love their children and want to be involved. Children's lives, as we all know, are a little bit more fast-paced than they used to be. And resolving parenting time issues when you've got soccer teams and violin lessons and cheerleading all intermingled with two families can be an extremely complicated and emotional issue to resolve. So I've done a fair amount of parenting time in custody, even after the divorce is final. Sometimes people may have been split for years, and they have parenting time issues as their family changes, as the children grow up, that need to be mediated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be the most difficult. And as the kids get older, the custody gets more difficult sometimes.
Well, the needs of the children change over time. Many times as they hit their teen years, they want to be involved in the decision of where they spend their time.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's related to where are their friends and where are their school activities taking place.
And I have a call here.
All right.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah. Are you on the air right now? I mean, as far as selling stuff?
No, that comes up at 11:30.
Oh, 11:30.
Yeah. All right. He didn't have a legal problem.
All right. Well, I wonder what he had to sell.
Listen at 11:30.
Right now.
All right. We're here with Tom Cates today, and he does settle disputes. And if you have a dispute with somebody, you might want to. How do they get to you to get your services, Tom?
Well, like most attorneys, I do advertise. I do have a website, attorneycates.com, which talks a little bit more about mediation. And many people that come to mediation now are getting referred through the court, and there is a mediation roster of people that have had the necessary training for mediation. It's about a 40 to 50-hour process that you have to go through. And I'm on the roster, or will be soon on the roster, for Ottawa County. I just completed my formal training. And there's about a dozen attorneys and counselors now that are on that roster. And the court, actually many people that find themselves in mediation end up there because the court actually appoints a mediator, whether it's a civil dispute or a domestic dispute.
Mm-hmm. So can you say, I can save you money?
Oh, absolutely. The first step, though, is the people need to be committed to the process.
Right.
If they're just going through the motions because the court has ordered them there, then I may not be able to save anybody any money.
Right.
But if people are truly committed to resolving their dispute out of court and come into mediation with a mindset that they're each going to have to give a little bit.
Yeah.
Then they will save themselves a lot of money and, more importantly, a lot of emotional heartache if they can resolve it. And in the end, the result, the agreement will be theirs. It's not going to be something that's imposed upon them by a third party that may not know all of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be something they've arrived at voluntarily, and statistics show that people that mediate their disputes are far less likely to end up in court again because they understand the settlement. They are the ones that came up with it and are living by it.
Often it involves a change in behavior for one or both of the parties, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. And a lot of times it involves some reconciliation. It has to. If people are going to move on, there has to be a realization that they are putting the disputes behind them, and that, you know, I always tell people in domestic disputes, you may not be in love anymore, but you are parenting partners in raising these children, and you have to see it as a joint venture and a business. The business of raising children, that sounds cold, but after the divorce, that's much of what it is. It's like a partnership, and there has to be some degree of reconciliation before two people can successfully mm-hmm. raise children.
And if they do split, then it becomes a problem of how to treat the children after the split as well.
That's right, and as we all know, there's a lot of room for personal opinion and personal style when it comes to parenting. And people need to be very understanding and tolerant of the other parent's parenting style and realize things at dad's house may not be exactly done the same as they are at mom's house.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say it's a tough job.
It is. But the job in mediation, keep in mind, is the toughest job is for the people that are there trying to resolve the problem. The mediator only controls the process. The people control the actual result.
Right. Right.
And that's what's good about the process, is they're in charge, they're in control, and if they want to resolve the dispute, they will.
Yeah. Well, if they can stop arguing long enough, then get in touch with Tom Cates.
Sometimes it's difficult to get the arguing to stop, but also sometimes it's good to have an organized forum where the arguing can take place and in a controlled environment, and then some issues can ultimately be resolved.
Right. Well, it looks like we're about out of time, Tom, and I do want to thank you very much for coming on this morning and talking to the subject of getting along with people. Mm-hmm. Very difficult.
Well,
thank you.
Certainly has been a pleasure to be here, and you have a great day, Duke.
Thank you.